Hello. Thank you so much for joining us today, right here on Progressive Radio Network, and that's PRN.FM. We're so happy to be a part of Progressive Radio Network, myself and my co-host, Dr. Eugene Zamperone. We've been bringing you this show right here on Progressive since Progressive came on the air, thanks for the tireless efforts of Dr. Gary Null. And we are so happy to continue to be a part of the PRN family. We'd like to let you know that as natural alternatives, Dr. Eugene Zamperone and I are constantly giving classes and workshops. And many of the classes, anyone who takes them, can receive, of course, information, knowledge for your own health and wellness, for yourself and your family, about how to take care of things the natural, alternative, and holistic way. But if you are a health professional, such as like myself, an RN, or Dr. Zamperone, an RD, an ND, or if you are an RD, registered dietitian, a nurse practitioner, a licensed massage therapist, and many other kinds of professionals, chiropractors, in fact, we have courses that grant CE credits for all those professionals. But you don't have to be a professional, so you can take the class for your own health and wellness. You can also take it as part of a course that I teach on how to become an RH. An RH is a registered herbalist with the American Herbalist Guild. So that's not a license, but that's a registration. So many of our classes also can be used towards your education in all of those areas. And again, you can take them just for fun. We have a lot of online classes. One that's coming up very shortly is Herbs for the Spiritual Season. So it's all about many, many medicinal plants like cinnamon and ginger and mistletoe, which can be toxic but has also been used for cancer. And of course, it's great if you want to kiss under it, right? So we're going over the spiritual traditions, the folkloric use, and also the scientifically validated medicinal uses of all of these herbs. And that is coming right up. You can sign up for it right by going to naturalnurse.com calendar, and you'll see many of the up-and-coming classes. Early in the coming year, which is literally a few weeks away, we have one called, if you're going to try to promote any kind of herbal product, the legal considerations for doing that, what you should know beforehand. Because once you go past the red light, you know, and you go under it, saying, oh, I didn't know it was red, well, unfortunately, that doesn't get rid of the ticket. So much better to know the rules before you jump in the game. So that class is coming up in January. And also one called Career Paths in Natural Medicine, in case you'd like to be on track to be able to earn your living doing holistic and natural kinds of businesses. So all that is coming up. Just go to naturalnurse.com. If you're on ground in Florida, we have a lot of on-ground classes this winter. And then in the spring, we'll be back doing our Chinatown Herb Walk in China. We're also doing an Echo Tour for Cures to Jamaica. That's coming up in March during spring break, because a lot of students come with us on that one, where we actually live in beautiful remote area of Jamaica with the bush doctors and natural folkloric healers there for about 5 days. So many exciting classes and workshops, as well as radio shows that you can listen to, podcasts, and we've written many books. They're all available there at naturalnurse.com as well. So we look forward to hearing from you. Jump on board for any of those classes at naturalnurse.com calendar. Today, we are so happy to have as our guest, Dr. Barry Tan. You can easily find him at barrytan.com. And the topic today is the anti-aging properties of annatto-tocotrienols. Dr. Tan is hailed as a trailblazer and the world's foremost expert on vitamin E. He's credited with discovering tocotrienol in three major natural sources, palm, rice, and annatto. He is a scientist and earned his PhD in chemistry and biochemistry in New Zealand and spent several years as a professor at University of Massachusetts. Today, his research focuses on lipid-soluble nutrients that reduce and slow chronic conditions. And he is the author of The Truth About Vitamin E, The Secret to Thriving with Annatto-Tocotrienols. And if you go to his website, barrytan.com, you can actually download a copy of his book for free by just using the code NATURALNURSE. So thank you so much for joining us today, Dr. Tan.
Good morning, Ellen. I'm pleased to be on your show.
Now, you have a really interesting history, and I want you to know that today's show is a full hour, so we can really go pretty deeply into this topic. But let's go back in time and see what made you want to become a scientist in the first place.
I guess in the natural world, I always wanted to know how things are being made, how things come to be. So that curiosity at the earliest time, it was very formative. And that was because of that desire to know how things come about, how things are formed, how it works in our body. Those curiosity held out at the beginning as well as throughout the years. So now, except that I know more now and that curiosity have answers as I raise the question. So those were the drive behind it.
You know, you said something very interesting, Dr. Tan, that I definitely find is true about scientists. And it's a wonderful thing that you, as much as you know, you don't get to a point where you go, okay, now I know it all. It just opens more and more and deeper doors.
Yeah, I think that, now today, the same question exists, but it comes in a slightly different form. I remember about 15 years ago, by this time, I had already being a scientist at the University of Massachusetts. I remember meeting a University of Pennsylvania professor, and he told me that, Barry, if you want to target something of clearly novel or finding that would be useful to the human health, think about this. And then he told me something like, you read what everybody else's read, which is definitely true in the internet era. And that was just prior to the internet era. But still, he said the same thing. You read what everybody else is read, but you think what nobody else does. So I thought, wow, that's cool. So I'm trying to ask questions that people are not asking, even though they're reading the same material. And that is the today's drive of my desire to read what everybody else can, and then to think and then do research what everybody else has not done.
Right. So you learn what other people have done, but don't you find sometimes, you know, they've also made mistakes that perhaps you can avoid?
Yeah. Well, definitely if the chance come up with the tocotrienol, you know, I can explain one mistake. Had I not delved into studying that mistake, then today nobody would even bother about tocotrienol. So if you feel somewhere in the talk that should be important, I'd like to answer that question. I actually was troubled by what scientists said, and I decided to go to study it and found out that what scientists said was not correct.
Well, why don't you like go into that more deeply? I'd like to hear about that story myself. So
yeah.
There were scientists who studied it and you felt that their conclusions were incorrect. So tell us about that and then how you proceeded.
All right. With vitamin E, the first part of vitamin E that is well known is called tocopherol, not the tocotrienol. The tocotrienol was discovered 40, 45 years after tocopherol. Tocotrienol was discovered 40, 45 years after tocopherol. So by that period of time, it almost felt like Tokotwaino is not going to have a shot. But nobody would matter because oftentimes history happens like this. So when
wait 1 second, Dr. Tan. I want to tell our listeners, if you'd like to really look at what Dr. Tan is explaining, if you have a vitamin E supplement at home, or even if you want to look at one on the web and turn it around to the back where there's a supplement facts box, it's going to say the form of vitamin E. So what he's talking about is the different aspects. Like, for instance, you might see something that says tocotrienol, or you might see something that says tocopherol. You might see something that says tocopherol acetate. There's all different words that you might see there, and he's explaining to us the difference. So the one that was more popular at the time were the tocopherols. And yes. Now he's telling us about the tocotrienols. Please continue.
All right. So now that you mentioned that, I mean, if you look at the bottle, more than 90% of the time, the vitamin E that is mainly sold will be alpha tocopherol and not tocotrienol. And the form of tocotrienol that people want to look for is the annatto tocotrienol. So once you get that, then they'll be fine. Not the tocopherol acetate for sure. That's not even natural. Then the natural tocopherol is alpha tocopherol, but acetate is something that the food scientists use in food, and somehow it tracks into our nutritional supplement. I don't really know why, but like that. But still, none of those really matter that much. What matters would be the tocotrienol. And now I'm going to tell you why scientists have talked about this tocopherol. And if I did not put in energy to study the tocotrienol, it would be a lost cause. Now, this is how it happened. Remember, tocotrienol came 40-something years after tocopherol. So therefore, most of the earlier studies were with tocopherol. So when they did this, they found that tocopherol is an antioxidant. Everybody knows that, and so is tocotrienol. So when they studied this, they wanted to know how this would protect the bad cholesterol in a body, which is the LDL particle. And oftentimes, if you go to see a doctor, the doctor would draw blood, and they ask you to do it 12 hours fasting. They always do this to study the LDL, the bad cholesterol. So conveniently, when you stop eating food, that when you supplement vitamin E, which is tocopherol, you stop eating food for about 12 hours, you have the blood drawn like that. So now, when they did that, they'll find that when they take alpha tocopherol, the alpha tocopherol shows up in the blood. So now, using that same convention, so when they got to study tocotrienol 40, 50 years after, they did the same thing. They gave people tocotrienol and 12 hours fasting. Then they do it. And then you know what they found? They found there are no tocotrienol. Therefore, the scientists concluded that tocotrienol are simply not absorbed. In other words, they are metabolized. They're either pee off if they're very water soluble or pooped off and not absorbed. That's it.
Okay, so let's review that point again. You're saying that through some studies that were done, they found that tocotrienols were not well absorbed.
Yes, that's correct. Based on the conventional way that they measure the vitamin E 12 hours in fasting. So, and then when they make that conclusion, it sounds rational, right? Because when we measure tocopherol, it shows up in the blood. When we measure tocotrienol, nada. Even if you take tocotrienol 12 hours before, say 7 p.m., 8 p.m. the night before for dinner, and then you do your blood work fasting at 7, 8 a.m. in the morning, like we usually do when you get to do a blood work, and then nothing happened. So I was a young assistant professor at the time. I was troubled. I said, my goodness, how come the tocotrienol did not show up in the blood? See, it all sounds rational, right? So I'm telling you, I want to be as clear and as vulnerable as can be. I said, wow, what's going on? How come it's not there, you know? But then in the animal study, this is when my mind was thinking, see, read what everybody else read and think what nobody else does. But in the animal study, the animal have cancer. We gave them tocotrienol, the tumor shrink. They have high cholesterol and the cholesterol dropped. But then somehow, if it is not absorbed, like we say in clinical study, well, then it ain't going to work. And then I said, well, this is troublesome. Why does... So I asked, then I decided, wait a minute. Maybe the tocotrienol, see, I'm asking question. wait a minute, maybe the tocotrienol absorb earlier, and after 12 hours, things have already gone. So the convention of the 12 hours thing is a convenient thing. See, I challenged the supposition. It was a convenient. And sure enough, we decided to do a clinical study. We put a catheter on the artery, on the arm, like that. We take it at zero time as they eat a meal. This is clinical study at a meal. And then take it 1 hour, 2 hours, 3, 4, 5, 6 hours, and then 10, 12 hours after. So you can actually draw the curve, the kinetic thing, and then you can do the area under the curve. So it's surprising to me, and I was holding my breath, what's going to go on? Most of the tocotrienol absorb in hour 2 to hour 5. Then much after hour 5, 6, and 7, it go back to neutral. Hence, 12 hours after, nothing shows up. Aha. So now you see the tocotrienol was absorbed much faster at 2 to 5 hours. So that at 12 hours, it was translated as not absorbed, but that was erroneous. It was all absorbed after 5 hours. So at 12 hours, it's already in the system, already deposited into the organ. Did I confuse you, or do I get it correct for you?
Well, what you said is that by measuring the amount of a particular molecule that we're discussing, which is tocotrienol, through a new measurement method rather than the one that has been used ongoingly. The older one did not show the presence of the tocotrienol, but the new measurement style that you used found that, in fact, it was there.
Yes, it was there in the earlier time. Even that was about 10, 12 years ago. And today, I have a theory why it was absorbed so well. You know, most scientists focus, because the artery is controlled by a pump, and the pump is the heart. So we have about 30,000 miles of artery, and the heart pumps it. And then it's very easy for people to understand. And most people study the artery. Very few people study the lymphatic system. The lymphatic system don't have a pump. It works with peristalsis. If you squat, if you do Tai Chi, that's when the thing just moves. It's to peristalsis like that. And when food is absorbed in the gut, it goes through the lymphatic system. And after it comes through the neck there and goes to the vena cava, and then it goes to the liver path, or enterohepatic circulation. Scientists use just kind of gibberish. It just goes into the blood system. Then it goes to the heart pumping, which is what you will see. Initially, it goes to the lymphatic system in the first few hours, in the 60,000 miles of the lymphatic system. After it goes through that and decanted into the blood, then it goes to the arterial system, for which the heart pumps. And then you will begin to see that on the latter part. So therefore, the normal tocopherol go to the latter part from 6 to 12 hours where it peak. But the tocotrienol is largely absorbed in the earlier part of your body through the lymphatic system. So in point of fact, the tocotrienol is more bioavailable, go to the lymphatic system and go to the different organs more efficiently. But if you use a traditional construct, is it found in the blood? It is found in the blood, but only in the earlier stages, not in the latter stages. But the lymphatic system, there are no blood. The color of the lymph, the fluid look like straw, look like a fat-free milk. See, I don't know that I lose the audience, but the audience can go read it. When you eat food, they don't go into your blood. There's no such thing. When you get into your gut, it goes to the lymphatic system. If you do Wikipedia search, the lymph fluid look like a fat-free milk. That's it. There's no blood. When you see blood, it's already gone to the arterial function like that, like you normally poke in your blood like that. And when people study vitamin E, they usually study in the blood. You can't poke into the lymphatic system. They're tiny little thing. You cannot draw blood from there. You can only draw blood from the vein or the artery.
So therefore, the food itself doesn't obviously go, you know, people think the food goes into your blood. No, it has to go into your digestive system and be broken down in component parts. And from your research, what you're explaining to us is that this particular molecule, the tocotrienol, is absorbed more in the lymphatic fluid.
Yes, it goes. And then, you know, many lipid-soluble material does that. Another time, if you were to interview me on the mannoquinone also goes through the lymphatic system like that. But not everything goes to lymphatic system like I described. And sometimes they go to lymphatic system. Eventually, it goes into the blood, and then it show up in the blood. But that is a traditional view. That traditional view that people measure in the blood came originally not from our industry. It came from the manufacture of drug, so that the FDA required it to give somebody drug. How does it show up in the blood? Because we are not ordinarily allowed, even if that drug function in the liver, function in the brain, or function in the lung, you cannot do biopsies of the liver, lung, and brain. I mean, that's too invasive. You're only allowed to do that if people have cancer. Then you have to do a biopsy. But not for the luxury of the scientist. I just need to know how much is in the brain. And then you stick a needle in the brain, no chance. You're not allowed to do this. In fact, after 30 years of research in tocotrienol, we finally allow, besides the blood, we are allowed to have adipose tissue done on a study we use on tocotrienol.
So we'll just want to share with our listeners that adipose tissue is fat cells.
I beg your pardon. So we're conducting a study, a clinical trial in Texas on postmenopausal women who are obese. So remember, they're obese, not overweight. So we purposely study this because we want to know, with obesity, how does the adipose tissue that they have to carry so much weight on burden the body with inflammation and other parameters. So we asked the institutional review board, you cannot do this in secret, you have to ask openly, and it's a yes or no. The institutional review board approved us for getting adipose tissue. In this instance, we will use a biopsy of the adipose tissue. So it is still invasive, but minimally invasive. I think it's on the abdomen. You pull the abdomen out, and then you poke in to get a small amount of adipose tissue. So we still applaud the subject for allowing us to do this. In this, we will study inflammatory cytokines. We will also study the amount of tocotrienol deposited in the adipose tissue to actually measure the true bioavailability. So now, why did I say true bioavailability? When it goes in the blood, that is not where the true bioavailability is. It just gets into the body.
Right.
True,
so what you're sharing is that once it's in the blood, okay, but you really want to see how the cellular uptake is. But we're going to take a little break right now, Dr. Tan, and we'll have our listeners listen to the Natural Medicine Chest, and also looking at the engineer to see if we can get your volume up a little higher, because I'm having trouble hearing you totally right now. But we are going to be right back with more right here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z.
On this edition of The Natural Medicine Chest, we'll discuss the folklore, history, chemistry, and medicinal applications of the common kitchen herb, thyme.
The common culinary spice known botanically as Thymus vulgaris is only one member of a large genera which includes over 400 species and even more varieties. The Thymus genera is originally native to the Mediterranean region and is a perennial plant which grows wild in usually dry, sandy soil, green heaths, and grasslands. Thyme is a prolific, fragrant, creeping ground cover and often displays an attractive spray of flowering branchlets spanning the spectrum from white to violet.
There is considerable debate amongst historians as to the origin of the name thyme. Some believe it to be from the Greek thymen, meaning to fumigate or to burn a sacrifice, because it was used as a sweet-smelling incense and also to keep pests and venomous creatures away from the Greek home. Others believe it came from the Greek thumos, meaning courage or energy, perhaps because it has a reputation of being used by Greek warriors for courage and was bathed in and used as a beverage for invigoration. The Egyptians used an herb called tham, which we believe is thymus vulgaris, to mummify their dead. The principal chemical constituents of thyme are the volatile oils consisting of phenol, thymol, and carvacrol. A 1977 article in the scientific journal Chemical Abstracts revealed that thymol's antimicrobial activity is 18 times more powerful than phenol. Phenol is a major antiseptic used in commercial germicidal cleaners like Lysol. Thymol is one of the most potent antimicrobial substances known and far surpasses even the strongest antibiotics. It has been illustrated in the Journal of Chemistry and in the Merck Index of Drugs and Chemicals to destroy parasites, worms, fungi, bacteria, mosquito larvae, and many viruses.
The pharmaceutical and cosmetic industry is privy to the important medicinal effects of oil of thymus vulgaris. It is ubiquitously found in gargles, cough drops, vapor rubs, and many mouthwashes. Oil of thyme is to be used, albeit very sparingly because of its potency, as a gargle or mouthwash for sore throats and inflamed gums. Because the volatile oil is expelled via the lungs and kidneys, naturopathic physicians use it for upper respiratory infections and urinary tract infections. If you are in the midst of a cold and are lying in bed with too much thyme on your hands, try making a thyme tea made with just a few teaspoons of thyme to a cup of boiling water. It's an excellent diaphoretic because it causes the body to perspire profusely. Thyme also possesses an excellent carminative and antispasmodic effect, helping in poor digestion, flatulence, and intestinal gripe.
So, listeners, if you're feeling ill, thyme heals all wounds. Remember to reach for that thyme in a bottle the next time you open up the Natural Medicine Chest.
Right here on the Natural Nurse and Dr. Z. We are so happy to have you on board with us as always. We love to have you and we love to hear from you. So you can get in touch at naturalnurse.com or Facebook, The Natural Nurse. And that's, of course, Ellen Kamai. And today we have as our guest, scientist and trailblazer, Dr. Barry Tan. He's the world's foremost expert on vitamin E, and you can find him at barrytan.com. He has a wonderful book called The Truth About Vitamin E, The Secret to Thriving with Anatotocotrienols. And if you go to Barry Tan, that's BarryTan.com, you can download the book just by using the code. So the code you want is Natural Nurse. And it's very easy when you go there, there's a code and you just put in Natural Nurse and then you can get a copy for yourself to review a lot of today's information in writing in a very clear manner called The Truth About Vitamin E, The Secret to Thriving with Anatotocotrienols. So thank you so much for being our guest today, Dr. Barry.
Thank you so much. Am I clearer this time? You said that the it did not come through as clear as before. So did I come across clearer now on the microphone?
Okay. I'm not sure. I'm thinking they just said they can't do anything about it. So we're not hearing it real loud and clear on this end. Sorry.
Okay.
But I can hear you. So, you know, we'll proceed. So what we're doing, you just explained to us that you developed a way to measure the tocotrienols. So that's good. And you found that they had some unique absorption capabilities. For instance, they were absorbed in the lymph and early in the system. But why don't we talk about some of the foods that naturally contain tocotrienols?
Yes. Foods that naturally contain tocotrienols are found oftentimes in seed oils. So anything that have oils or fats, that's when you'll find vitamin E in general. And in the U.S. diet, most of our food source have oils and fat contain tocopherols, unfortunately. Then the parts that contains tocotrienols would be examples like macadamia nuts, pistachio, corn, because of the respective oils in these nuts like that. Normal vegetable that are not seed or are not high in fat and oil, they do not contain tocotrienol. And then in other cultures, palm oils have a lot of tocotrienol, except palm oil contain high saturated fat. And then in South America, people take the plant annatto, which is when we extracted this. I discovered this a little bit more than 20 years ago. And then they use it for condiments to color foods. So if you extract the oil from annatto, that's when you will see the tocotrienol. And when I discovered that, surprising to me was that this is the only plant source that contain a vitamin E that is completely free of tocopherol and only tocotrienol.
So, okay, well, let's talk about that plant. So what is an annatto plant?
The annatto plant, the Spanish word for annatto is achote, A-C-H-U-I-T-E. If any of the listeners is curious to get this from a Hispanic store, you just tell the Hispanic storekeeper and say you want achote, and then they just a colorant for food. The British call this plant the lipstick plant because of the intensely red color, but in the West, we use it for coloring cheeses and meats, and it's simply called annatto, two N's and two T, A-N-N-A-T-T-O, which I describe in the book that you mentioned that people can download. So if you were to go to Whole Foods or supermarket to buy cheeses, the orangey, yellowish hue is from this natural colorant. And every food company now have eliminated the use of synthetic color for this food. Sometimes they put them in ice creams and meat and other things, but popularly is put in cheeses.
So it's actually used as a coloring agent already.
Yes, it is. Unlike other things that is nutritional supplement, sometimes they are novel things that we have never heard of in the West. Not so with annatto. Annatto, it is a food condiment that we put into these things that I mentioned before, probably for the past 150 years. So it's just that I discovered the tocotrienol. In fact, I'll tell you my discovery. I was in South America looking for something else, not the annatto. And then 30 feet away from me, I saw this plant. I decided to study the plant more for no other reason than this. When the pot opened, which is the fruit, you only see the seed and you don't see the flesh. I consider this highly unusual because all fruit have flesh. And that, because that's how we eat pineapple, mango, peach, apple, oranges. We eat the fleshy part. It had the tartness, have a sweetness, have a texture, blah, blah, blah. But when you come to this annatto, where the flesh is air. Just imagine it. Where the flesh is in the fruit is air. So there is no flesh. And then there's a seed. And the seed contains this carotene, and carotenes are very unstable. So I decided to study this because the carotene remains stable. I wanted to know what makes it remain stable. And earlier on, when you were the teaching moment, you talk about this phenolic material in thyme. So this phenolic material that I found to keep the color stable, which is a carotene, happens to be a tocopherol-free tocotrienol. So that was about 22 years ago. I was shocked and very pleased that I discovered that. And so the last 20-something years have been highly focused on the study of its chemistry, of its biochemistry, and finally we're able to do a dozen or so clinical study on how it can impact the human health.
So you actually have to gather the fruit itself while it's fresh, I imagine, to be able to extract the tocotrienols.
That is correct. The fruit, the fruit is called the fruit, but the fruit doesn't have a flesh, so it doesn't have a lot of water. But to extract them, I have to remove the water even on the seed coat. So when I remove the water, then I could extract it. And when I extract it, I remove the color. Remember, the color is for a food colorant. And so after I remove the food colorant, then I find this yellowish, orangey color that it is there in the plant to protect the color from degradation. That's it. The plant never makes it for human being. They do it for themselves, you know. So they make this tocotrienol vitamin E because it is a potent antioxidant to protect the carotenoid, the carotene, from degradation. And the carotene is the red color we put in foods.
So the red coloring is made by the plant as some kind of protective mechanism for the plant, which is what we always see. Any kind of medicinal action that we find from something that we extract from plants, the plants did not usually make it with the thought of human consumption, but they made it for their own protection or nutritional value, or sometimes to attract various insects that they want to come or repel certain insects that they don't want to come.
That, wow, you said a very insightful question. And since you do that, allow me to depart and also to affirm some of the things you said. In this annatto plant, the intense red color is to attract the insect to come to the plant. So that's that part. But because it doesn't have a flesh, the red color, which is a carotene, and carotene chemically is very unstable. So in order for the plant to protect the color, it further make the vitamin E, which, and the most potent form, which is a tocotrienol, and the tocotrienol is able to resist degradation and then off the color, so that the color can continue to attract the insect. So it's that part. Now, you also mentioned that sometimes the plant uses to attract certain things that it want to attract and repel some other things it want to repel. We discovered another thing. I know it's not the subject of this interview. Maybe another time you can interview me on this. The plant, this particular plant in the seed, also make another compound called, I'll say the whole word and I acronize it. It's called Gyronyl Gyronol. I'll spell it G-E-R-A-N-Y-L. Gyronol. So it's actually two gyronol group. They when you write it, the first phrase is an adjective. Gyronyl, gyronol, all one word. And for simplicity, I'll acronize it as GG. If you Google GG, it won't help. If you write,
well, you know what, Dr. Tam, that's probably beyond what a lot of our listeners can understand at this moment. They may not have time to look up chemistry, which you are of course, such a brilliant biochemist. But let's talk about something they can understand, like why would taking tocotrienols, particularly from the annatto plant, have anti-aging properties?
Okay. All right. That's great question. So now we talk about how would this benefit human health. Maybe I can separate this into two categories. In the chronic human health, in the anti-aging thing, one on cancer. With the exception of glioblastoma, which is brain cancer, and leukemia, cancer of the blood, which infirm many young people, most cancer are of the adult and the aging problem, because we cannot avoid the DNA being shot at, and therefore we have cancer. And some of the common biggie would be breast, lung, colon, and pancreas cancer like this. And other thing would be cardiovascular problem. Cardiovascular problem would be people that have high lipids in their blood, or in a specific instance on fatty liver disease. It is also or diabetes.
Fatty liver disease would be one.
Okay, fatty liver. So I can talk about these two. And we decided to do clinical trials on this because we have already copious amount of studies in animals, several hundreds of them. So I decided to conduct clinical study. So on the clinical study on cancer, we did it on ovarian cancer in clinical study. Ovarian cancer, breast, lung, colon, and pancreatic cancer. Are these studies, the ovarian cancer results are out. They are done on stage 4 cancer patient, meaning to say there are not a lot of options left because they're stage 4. And the cancer have gone to many parts of the body. And oftentimes the doctor gives approximately 6 months of life left. So they chose to do the study like that. And in another group, they have standard of care plus the tocotrienol. And the short answer to the study completed is that the tocotrienol added to the group increased the survival of the patient by twofold. So rather than 6 months, 12 months. Furthermore, even after 24 months, one quarter of the patients are still surviving. We consider this remarkable for what a nutritional supplement can do.
I have a question about that, Dr. Tan. That is fascinating. Hopefully you have all these studies published somewhere that people can refer to. Now, when you're talking about, in that case, it sounds like that research was done where people, when you say standard of care, that means these individuals, for whatever particular kind of illness they had, were given the regular chemotherapeutic agents and radiation that would normally be used, and then they also were giving tocotrienol. Is that how that went?
You are exactly on the mark, Ellen. The standard of care, they were given Avastin. Avastin is an anti-angiogenic drug. What that meant is at such last stage of their life, to give them additional money, it's inoperable. If they operate them, they'll simply die faster, and they're not radiatable. If you radiate them, they simply will die faster. Remember, if you understand that this is stage 4 cancer patient, you know why it's done like that. So the only drug that a chemo drug they can give to them is to stifle the blood vessel that feeds the tumor, so that it cut the blood supply to the tumor so that they may have additional months to live. So that is a standard of care given to them. And they give them tocotrienol in addition to that in another group. So then the group that is given the tocotrienol is the one that you saw this result that I show you. Yes, it was published early this year. If any of your listener wishes to, and write to us on myberrytan.com, I will be able to provide you the published study. The entire study was done in Denmark. And also shortly after this, they're going to produce study of cancers of the breast, of the lung, and of the colon. That's also forthcoming in the next 6 to 12 months. The pancreatic cancer is done in Florida by a different group. So
that's amazing. So you're talking about, you know, a study that's actually been done in the United States. And I personally have worked in a lot of these situations, and that is not an easy thing to make happen. So first, you would have had to prove that the tocotrienols by themselves is very low risk.
That is correct.
Right. And then you have to do a lot of legal things where the people are opting into a study at end stage where they also know that some people are going to get it and some people aren't going to get it. That's part of the double blind. So that's an incredible amount of work, especially to ever have happened in the United States.
That is good. Thank you for emphasizing that, Alan. Yes, this is why this is a labor of love. Yes. If this thing works, then there will be something that people will know. But, you know, when people suffer from cancer, it's very emotional. If it doesn't work, then life is no more. And we don't want to talk about them. And that's why we study stage four. Now, if people are having stage one and stage two cancer, they are not talking about death. They're talking about conquering it. But when you have stage four, there's not a lot of options left because the cancer have gone many places. So we started with stage four cancer because the risks are the lowest because there are not a lot of options. If and when this is successful, it looks like it is, then we'll go to the earlier stages. Then we have to do another study again of stage three, stage two, and we are doing one now on colon cancer, where people have stage one and stage two colon cancer on the polyp and shrinking the polyp like that. So that's not full-fledged colon cancer, which
so
is
so much
option.
Better. You know, the so earlier, better, the yeah. better. Right.
Yeah, I know. So if any of the people have this, the earlier that you go, and Tocotrienol not the only one, there are other good nutritional supplements out there that are for cancer, not a whole lot. And besides Tocotrienol, the only other one I can think of is curcumin. The curcumin issue is how to get it absorbed. If you can right. get curcumin
well,
absorbed.
Wait, Dr. Tan, before we get off into another tangent, because you have so much to share, we're going to take a little break right here, and we're going to allow our wonderful station, Progressive Radio Network, to tell you about some shows and perhaps have Dr. Gary Null on there, because this is the season to donate to places that you'd like to support. So we will be right back with more right here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z.
This is PRN.FM, the number one station for progressive minds.
Hey, it's Jesse, PRN station manager. I have an exciting announcement for our amazing listeners. PRN has a new voicemail line that will allow you to connect better with our hosts. If you can't listen live but have a question or comment for one of our hosts, just call 862-800-6805. That's 862-800-6805. This feature will allow your voice to be heard on your favorite PRN show.
Thank you for listening to the Progressive Radio Network.
Progressive Radio Network, the station for critical issues from critical minds.
Hey folks, my name is Jordan Valerie, my pronouns are she, her, hers, and I'm here to tell you about the Millennial Politics Podcast. We speak with the next generation of progressive candidates, activists, and organizations dedicated to restoring our democracy and protecting our civil rights and liberties. Make sure to stay tuned for Tuesday at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on the Progressive Radio Network, to hear the most recent episode of our podcast, and follow us on social media and iTunes to stay up to date with everything Millennial Politics.
Right here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z. And we love to hear from you. You can get in touch at naturalnurse.com or Facebook, The Natural Nurse, Ellen Kamai. And today we have as our guest Dr. Barry Tan, that's BARRIETAN.com. You can go there and get a copy of his book, The Truth About Vitamin E, The Secret to Thriving with Nattotocotrienols. And I actually downloaded it myself right before the show. Beautifully written and easy to understand. It is in a language that if you're finding some of Dr. Barry's explanation very high level and scientific, which it is, you can definitely look at his book, and it is free if you use the code Natural Nurse. And Dr. Tan, I am so impressed that you've been able to move forward with actual studies. Now, not all tocotrienols are the same. So how could people know if they, you know, choose to just use it right now, which you're allowed to do as a dietary supplement? Of course, you cannot have any kind of claim about longevity or anti-aging or cancer or anything like that on the bottle. But if we educate ourselves, we can know why we might be wanting to use tocotrienols. But how can someone know that they're getting one that's really good quality?
Okay. So when you go to a store or you go online to look for vitamin E, you always look at the nutritional label. And first, I'll do the elimination process. You want to be sure that it doesn't say synthetic vitamin E. They'll be the worst of the worst. So then that'd be natural. And then for the natural, you wanted to see, and probably 90% or more of the time is going to say alpha tocopherol.
Well, wait, I want to give one other thing. You can sometimes look for that little DL. If you look with a magnifying glass, if you're old like me, you want to see, is there a little L? Like, is it DL tocopherol? Because that's certainly a synthetic one and one of the worst ones.
That is correct. And if it's natural, it will be the letter D. And this DL was the Latin word for, because this kind of vitamin E, if you look in a particular machine, they turn left and they turn right. So it's a Devo and a Dextro and Levo, and hence DL. It just have that chemical meaning. But when you mix synthetic, it's a mixture of D and L, and hence like that. So I would avoid taking alpha tocopherol, a synthetic, 100% for sure not to use it. And even natural, I would not have to take more of that, because if you take a normal diet, you will have enough alpha tocopherol like this. And there are many studies that alpha tocopherol at the very best did not do anything, probably do some harm. Another time, I can explain that more. That's one reason. So you want to look for the word tocotrienol, and it is also a vitamin E, but tocotrienol, probably less than 10% of the time you have that. But if you Google and say tocotrienol, then you will see that there will be palm tocotrienol and annatto tocotrienol, and you want to go with annatto tocotrienol. Why? Because annatto tocotrienol is 100% tocotrienol. Palm contains 25% tocopherol. So now the audience want to know, why did Dr. Tan say tocopherol and concentrate on this? Well, we have done studies also, both animal study and clinical study, that show that tocopherol, when present with tocotrienol, tocopherol will interfere with the function of tocotrienol.
Why is that? Would they be absorbed first, or interfere with the uptake or something like that?
It blocks the uptake of tocotrienol.
Okay.
And it blocks the uptake. If you want to go one level deeper, some compounds absorb in the body through a transport protein, which means they have a body-made chaperone that ensure that compound go in. Vitamin A absorbed like that, and it's called retinol-bound protein. Vitamin D does it like that. And for vitamin E, only alpha-tocopherol have an alpha-tocopherol-bound protein, that particular vitamin that we don't even need much of. So if you take alpha-tocopherol, you'll block the other absorption until all the vitamin E alpha-tocopherol goes in. So therefore, you do not want the benefit of tocotrienol to be taken with tocopherol.
So it's better to take it, from what we're hearing from you, Dr. Tan, all by itself. Like, in other words, a capsule that maybe only has tocotrienol. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. And then sometime the audience also want to know, if I take it from food, they have about a few milligrams or so here. Typically, if you take from a Western food, you can get at least about 10 milligram of alpha tocopherol. Taking 10 milligram alpha tocopherol, that would not interfere with tocotrienol absorption.
Okay.
It's only when we take supplemental alpha tocopherol, when people would take about 400 IU, which is about 400 milligram or 1000 IU, then that is so huge an amount, it would block much, if not all, of the tocotrienol. So that is to be discouraged.
Okay, so what should people look for then if they do want to get a really good quality?
You will look for tocotrienol and say annatto tocotrienol, and the brand name sometime on it and sometime not would be Delta Gold, because that would be extracted from annatto like that. And you can go on. If you simply type annatto tocotrienol, it would show up. I'm hoping that we would also have a chance to talk about the non-alcohol fatty liver disease.
Oh, I was hoping too, but you know what? We are out of time. We did have a full hour, and we got through a lot of content. And I would like our listeners, to know that they can download your book, The Truth About Vitamin E, The Secret to Thriving with Annatto Tocotrienols. Go to Barry Tan, B-A-R-R-I-E, Tan, T-A-N.com. And you can use the code, which is Natural Nurse, so that you could download a free copy of the book to learn more. So thank you so much for being our guest today, Dr. Barry Tan.
Thank you so much for having me on. Hopefully, the listener will benefit greatly from the book, and then they can find out more from the store how to get this supplement. Thank you. Have a wonderful week.
And thank you, listeners, for joining us once again right here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z. We love to hear from you. You can always email us by going to naturalnurse.com. You could look at calendar and see all the classes you can participate in real time or archived. And you can join us in person in our on-ground presentations. Or you can go to Facebook, The Natural Nurse, and leave a comment there. So until next time, this is Ellen Kamai, The Natural Nurse, on behalf of myself and Dr. Eugene Zamperone. And we remain wishing you the best. Stay healthy.